Welcome to episode 35 of Behaviorally Speaking, a podcast featuring board-certified behavioral analysts Angela Nelson and Kristen Bondi. On this episode, they'll share tips with parents to facilitate more clear and positive communication with their kids. And now, here are your hosts, Angela Nelson and Kristen Bondi.
Hello, and welcome to our 35th episode of Behaviorally Speaking. I'm one of your hosts, Angela Nelson, a board-certified behavior analyst and mother of two.
And I'm Kristen Bondi, also a board-certified behavior analyst and mother of three. Hey, Angie, how's it going?
It is going well. At the time of our recording, it is spring break for my kids. So they're lounging on the couch, watching a movie, watching The Lorax right now. So
I'm pretty confident that your kids were home when we recorded it last year this time. And I actually think like we heard some like giggles and hopefully laughter in the background. And I remember you being like, full disclaimer, it's spring break. And so my kids are home.
Yes. Oh gosh. That's pretty soon it'll be summertime and then we'll
What are we even going to do? Oh man. Aside from summer camp weeks, hopefully.
We are just going through that right now. We're looking at the catalog and I'm doing a couple weeks of camps, a couple weeks of not, because the kids are old enough now. They can just play Barbies at home some of the weeks, you know, save a little money and give them some downtime.
Yes. Well, we were just talking about summer camps over here too. And we had some friends who came into town from New Jersey and they were talking about like the costs of summer camps. And we were just saying like, it's crazy how different it is across the country. And I had one parent talking to me about the cost of summer camp for her kids. And I was just like, oh my goodness. I just can't believe that it's just, first of all, it's so expensive. But second, you have to get in like way ahead of the time. Yeah. Like it's a whole process every year. So
there's a big thing. There's a big spread of cost in here in Southern California. It kind of depends on the camp you do. But
that's true.
Got to register by like April or you're not in summer.
And that's true because you have to, I mean, you're a planner, obviously, right? But I feel like sometimes you can't, what if you're not like a huge planner and then you're like, we wanted to take like summer vacation that week. And then you're already committed to a summer camp. It's just like, these are the things that go through my head. I'm like, oh man.
So, oh gosh. Yeah.
I know.
Good times.
I know. There's no segue from that into our conversation today. Although maybe a little about communication, right? So
Sure. I guess so. Right. Let's make it work. Okay. speaking of which, let's get into the topic today. So what are we talking about? We're talking about effective communication between kids or teens and their parents. And you and I, when we were prepping for this, we were talking about why this is an important one. I think a lot of the topics that we dive into are really, really worth discussing. This one, I think, in particular, because it's important to think about how we lay the groundwork for when our kids and teens are older. So this is a way that we can teach good communication between parents and kids. And then that way they'll have those skill sets when they go into the workplace and when they're interacting with their friends and future partners and even their own kids, perhaps if they want to in the future. So definitely an important topic for now, starting and thinking about it now when your kids are young.
Oh, it's so true. I mean, it's such a big one and it probably feels like heavy now. It's like, oh man, wow. I didn't realize that, you know, if I wasn't properly communicating with my kids, like am I setting them up for failure later? So no, don't worry. We've got you covered. We came up with a bunch of tips that can be really helpful across all ages, depending on where your kids are. And one thing that we did that we, you know, as we were talking about this topic, we came to the conclusion or we really realized that there's two different levels here of communication. So we're going to break it down a little bit for you. And first, when we're talking about effective communication with our kids, we're talking about we just want to get heard on both ends, right? Are our kids listening to us and are we listening to our kids, right? That's kind of the, like, if you say clean up your room or go get your shoes. And so some of the just basic standard listening, right? Yeah. In terms of communication. But then as kids get older, we really want to foster more of that relationship with communication. So think about it like relationship building with your kids and your teens and we really want to find ways to foster that and to grow that as kids get older, so that they're coming to you and they're telling you things and they're not keeping information from you because of fear of how you might react. And mm-hmm. so we're going to go through all of that today, but we wanted to break it down a little bit for you.
Yeah, that's kind of foreshadowing for next episode too. Like,
yes. Oh, piece. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. So let's get into it. We didn't break it down by kids and teens like we sometimes do. I think this is going to be pretty straightforward. The first one, and Kristen, to your point about kind of that first level, the more basic foundational level of communication, just mm-hmm. getting heard, being, you know, listening and so on. It's really important to remember to get your kids or teens' attention first before you start talking to them or before you give a directive. I'm guilty of this. I imagine all or most parents are guilty of this at some point where they're just yelling, hey, can you, you know, clean up your room? Or can you do that? Hey, can you bring this in? And it's really, really important, especially when they're younger, or maybe they have a tendency to get distracted or maybe tune you out. If you're giving a directive in particular. So if they're not really listening, it's really easy for them to say, oh, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. So get their attention, grab their attention. Maybe it's eye contact, or at least you're getting some sort of confirmation. Yep, I heard you. What is it? You know, and mm-hmm. then you can give an instruction. And then the other thing too, as a side note, we talk about this quite a bit. Only give directives, only communicate directives with your kids if you can actually follow through. So if you do ask them to do something, but you're not really following through, and maybe you do that quite a lot, your kids know that, then your requests are not going to be, they're going to be kind of empty requests, right? So they might not often be fulfilled. So get their attention first before giving a directive, and then follow through on that directive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the second part of that is a big one. And to play devil's advocate, and what I usually get from parents is, well, they should just follow the direction just because, right? But I have to talk to parents and say, well, not if we haven't set that learning history, right? Yeah. So like you said, Angie, if your kids get used to not having to do what you say because you didn't follow through the first 15 times throughout the last month, right? then that's their norm and that's what they're used to. So we have to rewrite that a little bit and work through it and have them actually you follow through as the parent. And then eventually, yes, then you can fade your support and you don't have to be on top of them every single time you give a direction. But mm-hmm. I think it's important to highlight that because a lot of parents want to start at Z when they need to start at A, for example.
Yep. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yes. So moving along, the next tip here, allowing kids to be a part of the plan. I love this one. I suggest this one a lot, and it's really helpful. And this, I guess, kind of goes back to the summer camp example that we were just talking about. But a lot of times as parents, we want to just say, well, here's what you're doing, right? And when they're really little, that works okay. When they're 3 and 4 and we're simply saying, here's what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. But as kids get older, they actually want to be a part of the plan. You probably need to get their buy-in, and you could offer more choices to allow them to be a part of that plan. So you just might get more bang for your buck this way if you start to bring them into the fold.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm. So going on to the next one here, as we're communicating with our kids, be present with them. This isn't always as easy as it seems, right? We are running around and so on, but it is important to be intentional about it. If your child is trying to tell you something, especially if it's something important or something that's upsetting to them, work on your active listening, right? Be there to hear what they're saying, acknowledge that you heard them. It might not be something that you necessarily agree with, right? But you're acknowledging like, I heard you. Yep. Okay. Oh, yeah, that definitely sounds frustrating. So you're using those words to convey and demonstrate that you're actively listening. That could go a long way. I do a lot of that in the car. We, you know, as parents, you do a lot of kill two birds with one stone sort of thing, try to multitask. But my kids tend to really dive into a lot of conversations in the car. Everyone's just there, they're present, and that's a good time to really listen to them. You can't make eye contact with them at that time when you're driving, but that's a really good time for me to stop and just listen to what they're saying. But you know, at other times too, if they are communicating that they want to talk with you, it is good to put your phone down, turn away from the laptop, listen to them. That's conveying kind of that mutual respect and also modeling mutual respect too. It's mm-hmm. good for them to see that. And then they know that you're truly listening to them.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I love this one. And like you said, I think it's not always possible. And so maybe even keeping in mind that it's not always possible, but you can acknowledge that, right? So mm-hmm. let's say your child comes up to you and they're trying to tell you something that happened and you're in the middle of a work email because you're maybe still working, right? And they're out of school and whatnot. You can say, oh, I really want to hear about that. Give me just one more minute here and then I will listen, right? So I feel like, again, it's about just how are we communicating? How are we being present and letting them know? So yeah, you could do that too.
And I think if you say, that's a good point. If you say, just give me one more minute, then in one more minute, you know, uphold your end of the bargain, right? This is like my weekly thing. So often the kids will run in, they want to tell me about some social squabble that happened at school and this kid is no longer friends with this kid. And, you know, I'm trying to rush to get stuff done on my computer. And then we got to drive to volleyball or drive to gymnastics. And so I'll tell them, hey, look, you know, I really want to hear this and I'm going to be able to listen to you on the whole drive over. Just let me wrap this up. And then I want to hear what you have to say. So yeah, it's, you know, you're communicating that's multi-layered communication right there. Like you're communicating when you're available. And then when you are available, truly listen.
Right. Yep. Exactly. And then this one kind of piggybacks off of that one, but making the time to listen. So listening to their stories or their concerns. So very similar to one above, but maybe it's actually scheduled. And we've talked a lot about this. I think we talked about this one a lot during our mom guilt episode with like quality time versus quantity of time. And, you know, you do have to find what balance works for you, but where you can fit in that, even if it's just 5 minutes of just quality time with your child, listening to their stories, their day, asking them how their day went, anything that was hard today. So really just spending that time with your child or children and trying to separate them out if you can. If you can't, that's okay. Maybe we do it together. But I think it's really important in order to foster that bond and build that relationship that we're talking about to make sure to carve out a little bit of this time each day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that goes in, actually rolls nicely into the next one too. When you are spending quality time together, try to see if you can integrate fun. You know, it's our lives are so scheduled. Kids these days with the extracurriculars and the homework and the sports and work and everything on our end, many times it's hard to be intentional about weaving fun in together. And we do that so that we can really fortify our relationships with our kids. We're pairing ourselves with something that's fun. When we think of fun time or when we think of time with our kids, you know, we're thinking about how they're associated with fun, right? So don't forget to infuse the fun when you're spending time together. You mentioned do something special with each kid if you can. I love, I know you guys try to do this too. We try our best to spend some one-on-one time with our kids, but not even that. But maybe it's also you have a funny inside joke with one particular kid, or you have a special handshake, or my older daughter and I always have this these dance moves that we do together. There's like several of them together in this little choreographed dance, and doesn't matter what the song is, all the songs seem to fit this certain, you know, this chain of dance moves. It's great. And then I have something else, you know, that I do with my younger child. We have these different songs that we sing together. So yeah, I mean, just what are some fun ways that you can bond together? Don't forget about the fun times.
Yeah, so important. And I think along with that, kind of recognizing your behavior as a parent, you know, we're always like you, I think you said we're not as intentional or no, we're overscheduled. That's what you said it was. Kids are just overscheduled. But I think as parents, we're kind of that way too, where we're like just giving out directives and just, you know, trying to get through the day. And so I feel like another really helpful tip will be to be mindful of your praise and your positive statements versus your corrective and your negative statements. So this is one that I talk to parents about pretty regularly. And it's so easy to get into the, okay, you know, this is, you need to do this, or this is what you're doing wrong, or to give all of those, you know, corrective and negative statements, because Mm-hmm. We're trying to get through the day. And those are the things potentially, and I'm guilty of this too. These are the things I see. And so it's really helpful if we try to balance that scale a little bit and praise or increase your praise and your positive statements and make sure you're doing that more often than you're correcting.
Yeah, that's a good one. I love that one. And it's not so much that you just have to be dishing out praise all day, every day. You know, it's kind of just right. Think about your ratio, right? Think about positive or even neutral statements to negative statements. We know the literature is pretty clear on this, that kids that have behavior challenges, or in particular, kids diagnosed with ADHD, tend to see a higher level of negative statements. So their ratio is just different than kids that don't have behavior challenges. And that's unfortunate. And so that can really impact their self-esteem. So definitely be mindful of that ratio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So important.
Yeah. So speaking of being mindful, it's also going to be important to be aware of your nonverbal communication. So it could be things like gestures or eye contact, lack thereof, maybe your facial expressions, eye rolls. I know some people tell me, oh my gosh, I'm terrible at the eye rolls. I do it and I'm not even conscious of it. So these are some things that as we grow older, you can still definitely learn new things, right? This might be one of those things. If you have a goal to work on your parenting and just get better at, you know, setting a goal for being a parent. This is one of the things that I did a couple years ago, is that when I got frustrated with my kids, I would do a lot of like, sighs and, you know, do some eye rolls and stuff like that. And I realized, okay, well, my kids, they might start internalizing that. They're looking at me, they're watching what they're doing. I don't want them to feel bad about themselves, and I don't want them to start copying me. So those are the things that I really tried to be a little bit more aware of, just that, you know, not even the words out of my mouth, but more of those nonverbal cues.
Yes, it's so true. And they will start copying you. It's like, I think I read like a meme one time or something that said, like, I don't remember what it said, but it basically was insinuating, like, you know, I didn't see my childhood, or I didn't know what I was like as a child until I had one, something like that. And I was like, oh, it's so true. But they will, they'll copy everything that you say, everything that you do. And so it is so important to be mindful of that.
Yeah. Well, I just think about if I was talking to someone and someone just rolled their eyes at me, I'd be like, right. What? That's so mean. And then, you know, to think, I probably have done that to my kids too. Ugh, don't like that. So, you know, you just got to start fresh each day. You can't beat yourself up over it. These are just little things we talk about quite a bit, right? Like goals, side goals. What are things that we can do to make little tweaks to be, you know, to kind of change our parenting for the better?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so moving into the next one, which I think this is where we start to talk a little bit more about growing a relationship and kind of fostering that bond. So one of the things that we talk with parents about a lot is, when do we communicate with our kids, right? So how do we, I think the tip here is, you know, how do we set the occasion for effective communication? So I always give the example of, well, the time to talk about why homework is not going well is not during homework, right? Like, that's not the time to have that conversation.
Not when homework is not going well.
Right, exactly. Like, that's not the time. And so I think timing is so important. So think about, when are you approaching your children or your teens with things, right? Anything that you want to discuss, when are you doing that? And are you being mindful of other setting events? Like, is your child tired, hungry, or particularly upset? Or are you tired or hungry or upset, right? So it's always important to think about that. And the other piece to this, which I don't think we actually talked about during prep for this, is sometimes for families, it's helpful to actually schedule out that communication time. So I know we've mentioned it before on a podcast, but at some time during the week, it could be a Tuesday evening, because that's when you don't have anything planned, or a Sunday night, right? So coming up with a time that you set aside to really have these types of conversations. So what went well this week? What went poorly this week? How can we improve next week, right? And so you're really just setting the occasion, and your kids know, oh, okay, this is going to be the time that we're going to have. It's there, it's on the calendar, and we're not catching them off guard.
Yeah, I like that. I love that. I'm glad you mentioned too about not just making sure that you avoid bringing up touchy subjects when the kids are maybe hangry or upset, right. but also ourselves too.
Yes.
Because that's really easy to just, you know, to have a short fuse and then you're maybe not communicating effectively or not the way that you want to. And so you have to be, that's a good example of self-awareness.
Yeah.
As well.
Yep. Yeah. And impulse control. Yes. Right? Like being able to control that impulse of like, oh, I need to just get this out. But then maybe you're taking a step back and you're reflecting and you're thinking, okay, maybe this can wait till later. Right? And then we can talk about it later. So it's a tricky one.
Absolutely. So getting into the next one, we touched on this a little bit before in some of the previous tips, but modeling good communication, so important. I like to draw in the example of taking responsibility and making apologies. So taking ownership for when you've made a mistake. Maybe your kids are getting an opportunity to hear you say that to somebody at the store or, oh, you know what? I apologize. That was my bad. I'm so sorry. I misunderstood that. Something like that. Maybe also practicing it to your kids too, right? So I'm sorry I didn't communicate that clearly to you. I know that you thought that we were going to the park after school. Maybe I miscommunicated that. I'm sorry. Or I'm sorry that I raised my voice. That's an important one too. So sometimes I think that as parents, we're wanting our kids to be respectful of us and, you know, and so on and so forth. But I think, especially in this day and age too, it's totally okay and encouraged to respect our kids too. Right. And one way that we do that is to say that we're sorry. That can help build up your relationship, but it's also really, really good modeling. Oh, my parents also can apologize and they could apologize to me. I'm the kid. That's pretty cool. Right. So, modeling good communication can go a long way.
Yeah. I love this one. I think it's so important. And I kind of veered in my head a little bit because of something that just recently happened that I have to just share because it's funny. It's related to this, but as you were saying, like, mutual respect, I think between kids and just teaching, I'm sorry and all that. Recently we have like an Alexa in our kitchen and it's like one that's like a screen too. So the kids can talk to it and, you know, it's got a calendar and all that. So, I said something to Alexa. I was like, Alexa, I asked her a question and then she answered me and then I said, oh, okay, thank you. And then Parker, my oldest, goes, well, you know, she's just a robot. You don't have to say thank you to her. I was like, no, it's just polite because he's like questioning it. Like, why are you saying thank you? Like, she's a robot. And I was like, yeah, well, I mean, it's polite to say thank you to anybody that does something nice for you. She answered my question. So I said, thank you. And he's like, oh, okay. You know? And I was just like, it was just so funny. And it made me think about like, kids are truly always watching you. Like this was he wasn't even part of this conversation. And I just naturally said, thank you to my device and he totally called me out on it.
Did Alexa say you're welcome?
No. And I feel like sometimes a couple of the ones I've had before, I think it she does say like my pleasure or something like that. And this one it didn't. So I don't know if this one's just like maybe not, I don't know, programmed maybe, that way.
Yeah. Maybe it cuts off after it gives the response.
So many. Yeah. But it was that's pretty cool. Funny. Yes. So speaking of mutual respect, that really goes into the next one. And I think it's really important to pay attention to the words that we use towards our children and our teens, right? And so sometimes it's easy to get caught up in you're frustrated, right? And you might say things that might come to your mind, but it's so important to be careful about any sort of unkind words or labels to your children, right? So we just want to be careful about what we're saying for two reasons, right? One, as Angie mentioned before, well, self-esteem, right? We want to make sure that we're helping their self-esteem and not hurting their self-esteem, but then also remembering that kids are going to repeat what they hear. And so potentially they could use those unkind words and they might use them at school or with their siblings and it's going to get them into trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. That actually goes perfectly into the next one. They may use those kind words on you.
Yeah, true.
So while we say that mutual respect, apologizing to your kids. It really is really important, especially, you know, the reason I mentioned that too is back in the day, you know, it was that old saying, kids should be seen, not heard, or something like that, you know, mm-hmm. like that's, mm-hmm. that is so, we are so far away from that now in this day and age, right? So kids are more emboldened to say things and so on. And right. kids should be, you know, seeing respect and feeling respected by others and their parents. But, you know, there is a line, right? So we don't want to be hearing negative, bad comments or unkind words from our kids. But sometimes those things might happen. You might have a teenager that says, I hate you, or mm-hmm. a little toddler that says, you look fat, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so in those cases, we want to be able to teach our kids when it's appropriate, when it's not, but we want to make sure that we're not taking those things personally. Right. So there's, mm-hmm. there's a line there. It's, there might be a teachable moment. We want to explain that those sort of words are not nice and they're hurtful, but try not to take those things personally, especially if you feel like you might be reactive and then you mm-hmm. might shoot back a mean comment too, because that, I think that's a different dynamic, right? When a parent is saying unkind words or something mean back to their kids, that can be really, 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 really damaging. So try not to take the things that your kids say personally or to heart. Try to have a mature reaction to it. And maybe later on is the time where you have a discussion about it when you're able to keep your emotions in check, and then mm-hmm. you can have a productive communication about it.
Oh, this one hits home, Angie. This one hits home so hard for me, because my four-year-old, she's actually going to be 5 on Friday. Yeah, Kiki's going to be 5 on Friday. Yeah, so this one, she's my really just, she's just emotional. And she says some really mean things. And I'm like, I don't even know where you got that from. But her most recent is, if I tell her no, she's like, you are mean, mommy. You know, mm-hmm. and sometimes, I mean, I don't lash out back, right? I normally say, okay, you know, because I know that me responding and reacting will get me nowhere. Yes. But, you know, I can empathize with parents when they're like, you're mean too, you know, when you just want to like, bam, like throw it right back there. But where you can avoid doing that, because it's, you know, it's not going to help the situation at all. And so for us over here, you know, it happens. She doesn't get that extra lollipop she's looking for, right? And she tells me I'm mean, and I just say, okay, you know, we keep moving on. And then later at bedtime, you know, we give hugs and snuggles, and she's like, I love you. And I'm like, I know, I love you too. Right. So I feel like I like what you're saying, Angie, in that try to not to react. And same thing for the teenagers. Let me just say one more thing on this. But for teenagers, I actually tell parents all the time, if you're a teenager, and of course it's going to be like what you're comfortable with as a parent, right? But mm-hmm. I say all the time, if you're a teenager, like rolls their eyes or huffs and puffs and stomps at you, but they're doing what you asked them to do, then mm-hmm. maybe we don't address it in that moment. And we just say, oh, okay, they're mad, but they're doing their homework, right? I asked them to do their homework mm-hmm. and they're doing it. So mm-hmm. maybe we don't go, you know, go toe to toe with our teen at that time. So
yeah,
it's a hard one to do, but I think it is important.
That's a good point too. It's kind of, you're integrating somewhat of a judgment call in there, because mm-hmm. you could be instigating something, or you could, hey, don't do that, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then they may be trying really hard to hold it in and be respectful and just kind of do a little bit of a somewhat unnoticed kind of eye roll or something as a form of protest, but they still do it. But yeah, I mean, if you're communicating anger, that might kind of push them over the edge, and then you go into a full blown fight. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, this is tricky, but I think in the end, not taking what your kids say personally, try to be the bigger person. You are the adult. You are the person mm-hmm. that's supposed to be helping to model. It's easier said than done, but definitely can come in handy in the future.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so moving into the next one here. So thinking about ways to keep the lines of communication open. And so this is, we talked about here, this is kind of where we were saying, like, we want to have good communication with our kids, and we want our kids to come to us, and we want them to tell us things. And so there are certain ways that we can foster that type of relationship. And one way that you could do that, which as we were prepping for this, we came upon door opener statements. And I was like, I love that. I don't know if that's been a thing. I'm sure it is. I'm just now hearing about this. I usually say like open-ended statements, right? Or ask questions that require more than yes or no to parents. Yeah. But one way that we can keep the lines of communication open is to use those door opener statements. And some examples might be, you could say, wow, or I see. My favorite one that I tell parents to use all the time is, oh, tell me more about that. Mm-hmm. Or that's interesting, which is a really good one too. So there's many of those that you can use that kind of, you're kind of leaving it hanging, right? So your kid is ultimately going to have to give more information. I also recommend parents to use this one if they want to gather information about something. So they might say something like, oh, it seems like math was really hard today. Tell me more about that. Instead of saying, why did you do so poorly in math? Right? So there's a very big difference. There's a huge difference there. And you're saying the same thing. You want to know what happened in math, but you're gathering the information in a less intrusive way, maybe be the way to look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think what you're saying here for this one is be deliberate in the words that you use to facilitate more conversation. And I noticed I try to do that as well. I use wow a lot, or that's amazing, because usually they're going to say, I know, and blah, blah, blah. So they continue on, and it's just this statement to communicate to them, I'm listening, I'm interested. Mm-hmm. And it's as opposed to asking a concrete, you know, maybe close-ended question that could fizzle out. Or to your point, you're saying something that might make them defensive or could change the tone or the direction of the whole conversation. So just those, it's not even like door. Yeah, I guess it is kind of a door opener, it's more like a facilitator comment.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna rename this.
Yeah. So I like those. I like those a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think it combats the, everyone says, how was school? And the kids, good. Right. And then you're like, you know, I need a little more from you here. And so I get that one all the time, at least in my parent consultations. It's like, how do I get more information about school? So this can be really helpful.
Yeah. The words you use are really important. So speaking of the words we use, or maybe the words that we want to try to cut out a little bit from our language, using do versus don't language is really, really important. So we're kind of getting back to just some of those basic foundations of communication. So we talk about this quite a bit. It's going to be preferred to say what you do want to observe your kid and your kid's behavior as opposed to what you don't. So if you say something like, don't do that, or stop doing that, or, you know, I'm like, I don't know, just any sort of like, get down from the, you know, don't do that.
Don't jump on the couch. That's the big one, right?
Yes. Yeah. Don't jump on the couch. Right. So what do you want them to be doing again instead? Right. So please sit down on the couch. Please come over here. Can you please use a quiet voice in the library as opposed to don't yell, you know? Just being mindful of slight tweaks in the way that you're communicating things could make a big difference, because you're not just squashing a certain behavior and then they're left, well, what do I do? You're trying to redirect them to a behavior that you would rather see instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so important, because I mean, if somebody told you like, stop doing that, right? And you're like, well, okay, but what do I do instead, right? It's kind of, you are left hanging. So I love that. If we're just like killing two birds with one stone here, we're like, what should we do, right? So we're correcting a behavior, but we're also telling kids, well, what do I want to see from you instead? And I think it just puts more of a positive spin on it, right? So it's like, hey, overall, I think it just feels more positive too when it's like, hey, sit on the couch. You know, it's like, instead of like, stop jumping on the couch. I've told you 100 times, right? So it's, again, it's how does it feel? Thinking about the words that are coming out of your mouth, and, you know, your kids are going to understand. They're going to hear that. So.
Yeah.
Well, that actually segues nicely into the next one. And so talk with your child, not at your child. And this one's really important. And I think this one is so easy to get wrapped into when you want to correct a behavior and you really want to make sure your child understands perhaps a mistake they made, or something they did wrong in some way, right? And we really want to make sure they get it. So what some parents might do is they just talk, and they're talking too much at their child. They're not getting any sort of engagement back and forth. So really, you might not be getting very far. To be honest, if it's a teen too, they might have tuned you out, you know?
Totally.
And so later you're thinking like, oh, you know, how come you did it again? Like, I thought I got through to you. But it's like, well, maybe you didn't get through to them in the first place. And so if you talk with your child, asking for them to acknowledge what you said, right? This is one that I talk with parents a lot. I say, when you gave that corrective feedback, right? Did you ask for them to acknowledge it? Like, can you repeat back to me what you're going to do next time? Right. And then if you have them repeat it back, and then see, now it's more of like a conversation versus you just talking at your child for 5 minutes and then hoping that they hear you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the tone really matters. Yeah.
Definitely pay attention to your tone. Yes, for sure.
Yeah. So we are getting down to the last couple here. One thing that's really important is using I statements. I think sometimes when we hear I statements, we think of couples counseling or how do you talk to your spouse or your partner, but you can also use this in your other relationships too, like with your kids. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying, you know, you're being too loud or you're being this, maybe it's, you know what, I'm feeling really tired right now. I don't really feel like playing right now. I will let you know in a little bit when I'm ready. Mm-hmm. So just adjusting a little bit the way that you're communicating could help them better understand the situation, right? So just like a little tweak. Give them a little bit more information. It could go quite a long way.
Well, and a part of this too, I think it, also from what I'm hearing here is we're giving a reason right away, right? And if we know with little kids, you get the why, but mommy, why, right? I just had a call earlier today where we talked about their 2.5-year-old asking why constantly. Yeah. And it's, you get that. So you can, I feel like you can combat this why here if we're saying, well, I'm tired right now. I don't feel like playing, but I can play in 5 minutes, or give me 5 more minutes and then I can play. So I think that can help with that one too, because I was just thinking about a lot of kids, they need more information, and here you're just giving it up front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, this brings us to the last tip for today. So this one is use tools to support communication. So this one I think can be really valuable for all ages, but think about any kind of tools that you could use to foster some communication between you and your kids or your teens. They make all kinds of journals that can be really helpful. I found a few really cool mom and daughter journals, and there could be like, really, really sweet ones. There could be even sibling journals, which I know kind of veers a bit from what we're talking about today, but they make those. And so just looking for ways that you can communicate in other ways, right? If you're, another example might be social media. If your child is on TikTok, for example, your teen is on TikTok and they're, that's the only way that they communicate, right? Maybe we communicate that way. Or maybe it's Facebook Messenger or whatever it is your kids are using these days, right? So just finding ways that you can communicate with them. Could be text message. I know a lot of parents tell me that they text with their kids, but just figuring out whatever tools you can use to support that communication, and that way you can continue to grow that bond.
Yeah, I was talking to a parent the other day. They had a teen, and they would send funny memes and GIFs and just funny text messages or funny quotes or little clips from some of the comedies that they like to watch together as a family. And it's just kind of a nice, funny way to say, I'm thinking about you. I noticed this one. I thought you'd like it. Just a way to, again, fortify a positive relationship in the mode of communication that is kind of relevant for your kid or teen at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one thing that's also very important about that is you're not always texting or messaging your teen when you want them to do something, right? So like what I'm hearing from that is the same thing as thinking about how often are you praising versus how often are you correcting. It's the same thing. If the only time you're interacting with them, and whether it's with a tool with communication or even just like verbal communication, if the only time you're interacting, you're telling them to do something, then we need to go the other direction. So maybe use one of these tools and have that only be your, you know, only positive interactions go in there, which is exactly like the mother-daughter journal, right? It's like only positive stuff. What are we looking forward to? And so it's a great way to do that.
Oh, I love that. That's a good way to end too. I think what I characterize that as transactional parenting, right? So you're, the only time you're dealing with your teen is when you're dealing with some sort of transaction, like you need to do this, you got to get your homework done, do this, the blah, 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 whatever it is.
Right.
That's that could really change the direction of your relationship. So I love the reminder of, hey, maybe you're just sending a funny meme. Maybe you're just sending a joke just for fun to say, hey, I'm thinking about you.
Yeah. No strings attached. Right. Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for joining us on our 35th episode of Behaviorally Speaking. On our next episode, we will be discussing teaching honesty. So that'll be a good one. Until then, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode.
You've been listening to Behaviorally Speaking with Angela Nelson and Kristen Bondi, brought to you by Rethink Care. Find out more at rethinkcare.com. You can find past podcast episodes under the Resources tab. We also invite you to subscribe, follow, like, and leave us feedback wherever you listen to podcasts. Your feedback helps us prepare topics and content for future episodes. Until next time, have a great day.